One of the best books I've ever read for those just starting out on their journey of faith is A Child's Bible. It is written on a level that even preschoolers could understand, probably because it was written for preschoolers. As I have never quite progressed beyond that level, it has always been helpful to me. And since my experience tells me that on any given Sunday, most adults seem to get more out of the children's sermon than they do the regular sermon, I have a feeling that this wonderful book just might be helpful to you as well. A few moments ago, you heard the story of Jesus and his post-resurrection appearance to the disciple that has gone down in history as Doubting Thomas. I would like to read you the story again, this time from the most important book on my shelf. You might want to go ahead and look at the picture that was taken from that book as I read. It's sort of blurry, but you can make it out. So put your hands in your laps and listen closely, boys and girls. Thomas was a twin. He knew how easy it was to mistake one person for another. Mary and all of Jesus' friends said Jesus was alive. But because Thomas hadn't seen Jesus since he died on the cross, he couldn't be sure. A week later, all Jesus' friends met together in a locked room. Then Jesus appeared with them in the room. He turned to speak to Thomas. "Come, Thomas," Jesus said, "touch my hands. Come and see that I am Jesus and I am alive, not dead." Then Thomas knew that it really was Jesus, alive and well again. Thomas didn't understand how these things happened, but he did believe. Thomas got down on his knees. "My Lord and my God," he said. Now, wasn't that a nice story, boys and girls? Didn't you like it? I hope that you remember that I said that A Child's Bible is one of the best books I have ever read for those who are just starting out on their journey of faith. So many of us fall into that category, but on this particular day, we have 8 members of our 2011 confirmation class sitting right up here, and they really do fall into that category. And this story of Jesus and Thomas is a wonderful way to remind them and us that we don't need to have all of the answers in order to begin that journey. Did you catch the most important line in that story? Did you hear it? It went like this. Thomas didn't understand how these things happened, but he did believe. Did you hear it? Thomas didn't understand how Jesus could be alive again. He had no idea how to explain what he was seeing in the room that night. All he knew was that a week after he saw his good friend die on the cross, Jesus was standing before them, just like he had done so many times before. And from that night on, Thomas believed. Listen again to how the Child's Bible put it. Thomas didn't understand how these things happened, but he did believe. Thomas didn't understand, but he believed nonetheless. Thomas didn't have it all figured out, but he got down on his knees and worshiped just the same. Thomas didn't have the slightest idea how the resurrection happened or even what it meant, but from that point on, he followed his Lord even to the ends of the earth. In fact, tradition says that Thomas traveled all the way to India to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Tradition also tells us that it was there that Thomas was martyred for his faith, being put to death with a spear. Today, 8 of our young people are going to be confirmed. For the past 4 months, they have been meeting with me every Sunday right after worship. Together we studied the Bible, took a look at church history, learned a little bit about theology, learned a whole lot about John Wesley, and tried to figure out the workings of the United Methodist Church, if in fact that is something that anyone is able to do. Some of us even went to a retreat at Camp Fontenelle where we explored our relationship with Christ and learned how to play Gaga Ball. A lot of facts and figures were presented during our time together. A lot of the stuff that we heard, like the concept of the Trinity and what happens at the communion table, was and is very, very hard to understand. But I want them and I want the rest of you to know that that's okay. I want them and the rest of you to know that I have a hard time understanding those things myself. I want them and the rest of you to know that we make a big mistake, a big, big mistake if we think that understanding all the ins and outs of the Christian faith is necessary for believing. Biblically speaking, believing and understanding have very, very little in common. Biblically speaking, faith has always been about following the ways of God, not necessarily comprehending them. Please remember that Jesus called us to take up the cross and follow him, not believe him. Please remember that the Christian faith has always been about a way of life, not a system of belief. That is why the book of Acts tells us that the early Christian movement was known as the Way. Don't forget what a child's Bible had to say. Thomas didn't understand how these things happened, but he did believe. That is so important to remember as we explore that story just a bit further. The Gospel of John tells us that on Easter evening, the risen Christ suddenly appeared to the disciples. Some of these were the same disciples, you may remember, who went to the tomb early that morning, looked around, and then simply went home because, as John wrote, as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. These were also the same disciples who, even after hearing Mary's story, hid behind locked doors. But now Jesus himself stood among them. He showed them where the nails had been driven into his hands and the place where the spear had been thrust into his side. And when they saw, they believed. They still didn't understand, mind you. They still didn't know how it happened, nor did they know how to explain it to others. How could they? Nothing in their lives had prepared them for that experience. Even so, they had faith. Peter and the others now believed. Unfortunately, Thomas wasn't with them that evening. So when he joined them a little bit later and heard the story that the others had to tell, he did not believe them. It didn't make any sense to him. He said that he would not believe it until he got to touch Jesus' hands and side for himself. Ever since, he has worn the title of Doubting Thomas. That's so, so very unfair. When you stop and think about it, and by the way, stopping and thinking is always a good thing to do. When you stop and think about it, he didn't ask for anything more than the others had already received. He wanted to see Jesus too. Well, a week later, as you know, he got his wish. When he was with the others, the risen Christ stood among them. Jesus showed Thomas his hands and his side, offering to let him touch them. But Thomas didn't need to do so. Thomas' encounter with the risen Christ was enough. He now believed. I'm quite sure that he didn't understand everything that was happening before him. Who could? But he did believe. As a matter of fact, he John wrote that he fell to his knees and offered the most complete and powerful affirmation of faith to that point in the story. He said, "My Lord and my God." It is important for everyone here this morning to understand that Thomas really didn't comprehend the resurrection, but he believed it just the same. And what was true for Thomas is true for us. Neither you nor I need to understand what happened on Easter in order to believe it. Think about it for a moment. There are many things in this world that I do not understand and seem totally absurd to me. I do not understand, for example, why the price of gas continues to go up. Neither the oil companies nor the government has offered a logical explanation. It makes absolutely no sense to me. But every time I pull up to the pump, I believe it to be true. I do not understand how 3 years worth of my sermons can fit into a flash drive the size of my little finger. It makes absolutely no sense to me. But every time I plug it into my computer, I believe it to be true. I do not understand how anyone on Jersey Shore, especially Snooki, is famous. It doesn't make any sense to me. But every time I stand in a grocery store checkout line, I believe it to be true. Now, if I can believe all of those things without understanding them, then why can't I believe the story of Easter or the faith of the Christian church without understanding it? Understanding and believing, you see, do not go hand in hand. Open almost any page of the Bible and you will see that this is true. Abraham and Sarah didn't understand why God chose them, a childless couple, to be the parents of a great nation. Moses didn't understand why God chose him, a stutterer, to go to Egypt in battle with Pharaoh. Gideon didn't understand why God chose him, the smallest member of the smallest tribe, to lead Israel in battle against the Midianites. Peter didn't understand why Jesus chose him, the one who denied his Lord, to be the rock upon which the church was built. Paul didn't understand why Jesus chose him, a persecutor of the Christians, to be his apostle to the Gentiles. None of them understood or had any part of their calling figured out, but they believed just the same. And just like Thomas, their believing changed their world as well as ours. In just a few moments, those who are about to become members, as well as those of the rest of us who are already members, will use the Apostles' Creed to affirm our faith. Most of us know how it begins. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That creed was first written in Latin, and the Latin word for I believe is credo. Now, today we use the phrase I believe to mean I give my intellectual assent to the following, or I understand what comes next to be true. But that's not how the word credo was originally used. Its Latin roots combine to mean I give my heart to. That's quite a difference, isn't it? I give my heart to. But that's the way it was back then. When the creed first appeared, those early Christians said, and when they said, I believe, they were actually saying something like, I give my heart to, or I commit my loyalty to, or I offer my allegiance to God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Believing was not something that happened up in one's head, you see. It was something that happened in one's heart. The Apostles' Creed told the story of a gracious God to whom those early Christians gave their heart. It had nothing to do with those early Christians having everything all figured out. It didn't say that they understood how God could be conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Today's Christians don't even understand that. But just because they didn't understand it did not mean they couldn't believe it. It didn't mean that they couldn't give their hearts to the one who rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Remember what a child's Bible had to say. Thomas didn't understand how these things happened, but he did believe. And the very good news is that if Thomas could believe, so can you and me. In just a few moments, the confirmation class will be asked some very important questions. I want to let them know that I do not expect them to understand what they mean. Nobody else in this room really does either. If the truth be told, none of us understand the questions that we are asked when we become members. None of us is expected to have all the answers. We have our entire lives to work on understanding what we say. We do hope, however, that you will believe what you say. We hope that to the best of your ability, you will give your heart to the words that you say. For most of us know from our own experience that when we do believe those words, then like Thomas before us, nothing in life will ever be the same. I can't wait to confirm you guys. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this great day. Help us to believe. Amen.